Okay, folks, I'm gonna go ahead and get started because I know I'm keeping you from lunch and I don't wanna be between you and food. So I know the keynote ran a little long. We were trying to give everybody till noon to get here. Some people might trickle in, but let's get going. So my name's Thomas Fennell. I'm a program manager on the developer platform team in Windows Phone. And today I'm gonna talk to you about tiles, notifications, the lock screen, basically everything you can do in Windows Phone to make your app feel alive to the end user. And before I get started, I want you to know a little bit about me. So my phone is who I am in a lot of ways. My phone has pictures of my kid on my lock screen, it has pictures of my kid on my start screen, it has pictures of my kid everywhere really, but that's because I love seeing him. But it has other stuff on my lock screen too. It has stuff that's important to me, like the weather updates, or it has my upcoming appointments, and my notifications on my start screen are the same way. They're things that are important to me, things that make my phone feel alive, but that's all delivered through applications. All this power is delivered through the applications on the phone that make my phone feel alive. Now, the pictures are all personal, the experience is all personal to me, but that's because these developers have done an amazing job of letting me personalize their awesome features with my phone and my applications so that I get the best of both worlds. I get to feel like it's me and my phone, but I get all that great information on my tiles and on my lock screen. And that's what I want you to take away from this session today. When you are writing an application, connect with your customer. And sometimes the way to connect with their customer is by giving them what they already love, what you can be pretty sure they already love. Things like photos are a safe bet. Things like letting them have information on top of information so that you can layer what's there is important to them. So I'm gonna show you today in this session how you can achieve some of this on your own. I'm gonna show you examples of real apps doing it in the real world, and I'm gonna show you some code that'll let you take advantage of this in your application as well. So I am going to give you an overview of the notifications on the phone because it is kind of a big space. There's actually kind of a lot of things you can do to make notifications happen on the phone, and I want you to understand the whole landscape of what your options are for developing a Windows Phone app with notifications. And I've done talks similar to this before, and I get a lot of questions about, that's cool, but I want to kind of know how it works underneath. Can you give me more about the architecture of what's going on here? And so I'd like to kind of give you an inside look into how this works on the platform itself, the components in the platform that are helping you light up these features. I am going to show you the user experience as well, because really everything that you're going to be doing is driving to a user experience when it comes to notifications. You're showing a tile, you're showing a toast, you're showing something visual to the end user, and that's the end result, is that user experience that makes them happy. And then I'm going to do some demos. I'm going to do a demo of tiles, I'm going to do a demo of toast, I'm going to do a demo of lock notifications, I'm going to do some push notifications. I'm going to show you kind of all of it working together in a bunch of different demos. So, right into the overview. What you're seeing on the screen here are inputs, types, templates, and then we get to the actual UX. And that's how I want to break these things down for you guys so that you understand how notifications work across the platform. On the left, when we start with inputs, and there's actually another slide after this, so there's one more set of types and templates after this, but the left we start with inputs, and you can see we've got scheduled as a type of input, and push and local as a type of input. And I'll get into how these work coming up. Then from those inputs, you get to the types of notifications you can do. The first one in the top on the gray box is alarms and reminders. I'm not going to spend time talking about that today, but it hasn't changed too much since Windows Phone 7.5, so there's plenty of documentation on MSDN to look up about that. But in short, alarms and reminders are just what they sound like. It's a way for you to schedule a chance for an alarm to show up and so that you can wake the user up, or for a reminder to pop up to remind them that, hey, it's time to go take the pizza out of the oven if you have a cooking app or something. I am going to talk about scheduled tiles a little bit. We did a bunch of things to schedule tiles in Windows Phone 8 to make them much, much more useful. If you need to do something on an hourly or a daily or even a weekly or monthly basis, scheduled tiles can be really, really powerful for doing that. And then another type that you can have is toasts, and toasts can be driven by push and local notifications, just like tiles can be driven by push and local notifications. I'll go into the details of how push and local work, but toast is kind of that bar you see at the top of the screen that pops up to get the user's attention, and we'll get to the whole UX slides and show you all the nitty-gritty. Then finally, you get to the templates. Tiles break out into three templates, flip, cycle, and iconic, and we'll go through each template. I'll show you each one getting created and updated in the demo. And then toasts really only have one template, toasts. Then there's one more set of notifications, and this is very new for Windows Phone 8. The inputs are still local, so it's not a new input type for these types of notifications. So local meaning it could be a background agent. We'll talk about all the ways you can do local. But the type for this one is lock screen. Now being able to control the lock screen is a huge part of helping you personalize the phone for the end user but still give them great data like I showed you earlier. And then the templates for the lock screen break down three ways. There's the background, which is that image that you can put on the lock screen. And really, you can do more than just put an image. You can kind of composite something yourself that has an image and an overlay and then put that on the lock screen. And then there's two types of status, detailed and quick status. And those are the ones that you see at the bottom of that image on the right. That's the detailed status, which is actually showing my calendar right there. And then the quick status would be like an icon with a count. And I'll show you how to make those happen as well. But before we get into code, I'd like to just show you this happening in real apps in the real world now, some apps that are doing a great job taking advantage of this stuff. And let me switch over to my machine here. Okay, so right off the bat, you can actually see I'm using an app right now that's done something really useful for me. This app is showing me my calendar. It's showing me the next three upcoming appointments, and it could show me more. I'm going to go into detail in this app. And it's got a picture of my kid overlaid on the background. So every time I turn on my phone and I see a picture of my son and I realize I got three more meetings to go to that day, it's okay because there's a picture of my son behind it. It makes me happy. It makes me feel better. So let me go right into that app, actually. That app is called Simple Calendar. It's an amazing app. It's free. He's got kind of a an in-app purchase model for things, and I'm going to show you kind of how he does all this. And you can see that not only is he doing my lock screen, I've got his tile right here as well. It's a beautiful tile. It gives me a lot more information, I think, than the built-in calendar tile. It's great that we have this flexibility, I think, because the built-in calendar tile only shows me one appointment, and I have a lot of appointments. I needed more. It was great that a developer could fill that gap and give me something that was useful to me. When I launched Simple Calendar, the app itself is great. It's exactly what it says it is. It's simple and straightforward. It's very clean, very easy to use. I can switch around, I can switch around between dates and see what I'm doing. But what he's really done an amazing job at is letting you customize the tile and the lock screen. I'm going to go into settings, and I'm going to move over to the tile pivot. This is where he's done amazing work. So he's using data binding in real time to pull up my calendar and render a preview of exactly what my tile is going to look like. So I'm not going to show you something quite this complex today, but really this is just a simple data binding that he's doing to existing information in the calendar database. And then having that live preview lets me know exactly what my tile is going to look like whenever I pick this. And if I click on this template, I can actually get more options. So you can see that's the one I was using. What if I go over here to this colorless template? You can see, he's changed it, so now it almost looks like there's nothing, like the text is just floating. So I'm actually going to pick this one. I'm going to show you what happens. Pick this template, back out of the settings, and then go back to the start screen. Whoops, I didn't give it long enough. One more time. Let me give it a chance to render. Okay, so it's going to show me the template again. I'm going to save it. I shouldn't have rushed it. There we go. Hit the check mark. And now when I go back to start, you can see that it's kind of got this almost floating feel of the template sliding over the background. And it works on the dark and light themes. He did a good job to make sure that if I had the black background selected for my theme, he would be showing white text here. But this app can still do more, and I've kind of already showed you that, but I want to show you the customization he did there. This app can also do my lock screen. So he's doing it again. He's showing me a preview of exactly what my lock screen is going to look like based on the picture I picked and the settings I picked down below. And I'm going to go pick another image now because I've got a couple newer pictures of my son. Maybe I want to use one of those. For example, the box is always more fun than the toy that came in the box. So I want to see this picture for a little while. And again, he's going to show me a live preview of exactly what it's going to look like. And he's got this slider here so that the overlay that he's putting for the calendar can be lighter or darker depending on my preference, or maybe depending on the image, I might need it darker because it's a light background in the image. He's done a great job of showing you what it's really going to look like in real time. And again, if I back out and I lock my phone again, you can see he's updated the image and now I've got a new picture of my son. And it's still personal to me. It's very, you know, it feels very emotionally connected for me that this app lets me keep what I like on my lock screen but still provides so much value in terms of what I'm able to do with it. So let me show you another good example of an app using tiles, but this app is using tiles and it's doing it using a background agent to update its tiles. Remember, one of the types of input is local, and one type of local inputs that we'll talk about in detail is using a background agent. And so Pandora, which I'm super glad we have on the Windows Phone platform and is a beautifully written app, whenever you start playing music, their background audio agent is going to kick off. So you can see I'm playing music, Pandora's there, and if I go to the start screen and look at the tile, they've updated the tile right away. And as songs change in the background in that background audio agent, They're using that data that they already get from the Pandora service, like the album art and the name of the song, and they're using that in their background audio agent to update the tile, because just like a regular background agent, or just like if your app is in the foreground, a background audio agent can also update the tile anytime it wants, because it's running and it's active. So if I was to change the song, you can see that they flipped the tile. Now they're updating the tile to show the next artist that is now playing inside of Pandora. They did a great job there. So on song changes, they're making sure that they do a good job to keep the tile updated. It's a really great example of keeping your tiles live so the user knows what's going on. I'm just going to pause that. I'm going to show you another app that I love called Weatherflow. Now, Weatherflow has been a pretty popular app on Windows Phone. It came out a good time ago for Windows Phone 7, and when Windows Phone 8 was introduced, you started introducing really, really high-resolution images that you could put on your tile. It's absolutely gorgeous, some of the stuff that you can put on your tile, and he does all this using a background agent that runs every 30 minutes. So it's asking me if it can be a lock screen app. I'm going to say no for now, because I'm going to show you all that in detail in a second, but Weatherflow is a gorgeous app. He has kind of two styles. If you're like me and you like something a little more high-res, or if you like the Metro style, you can have this. And he's got some great settings for his tile as well. He will let you pick what you want the tile to look like. I currently had it on the start screen in that kind of rich image style, but I can have a Metro style tile if I want. And he lets me pick what I want to be in the back size of the tile when it's in medium and what I want to show on the wide tile. And again, he's done a great job letting the user kind of personalize and pick exactly what makes sense for them on their tile, giving them these options in a page like this in settings to make it look beautiful. And so it's going to go update my tile, and I'm just going to go to the start screen real quick and show you what it looks like. So there you can see now I went from that rich like image style to now I have this Metro style tile that's showing me the forecast for the next coming in. It actually looks like it's going to be nice on Sunday. And so I'm going to go back into the app, and I'm going to show you he also does the lock screen. So under settings, on the lock screen, he's got a feature that I absolutely love. He's got something called Image Shuffle. So if I choose Image Shuffle in here, he's going to let me pick an album that I like. And in my saved pictures album is basically, you can guess, right, all pictures of my kid that I really like looking at. So I'm going to pick the saved pictures album. He's taking all these images, and he's actually making sure that he can show them every time a background agent runs. I'm going to turn on so that he can control my lock screen. He's got some more options I can pick. I can pick, do I want to see the 12-hour or the 5-day forecast or just the current forecast? I kind of like the 12-hour on my lock screen. I can just pull my phone out real quick and I can see what the weather's going to be like coming up. And when I hit save, he's now updating the lock screen and he's going to pick one of those pictures randomly out of my photos. So there's a picture of my son on the swing showing me the weather coming up for where I'm at currently. But what's great is when this app's background agent kicks off every half hour, he's going to change the picture. So at the same time he updates the weather, updates the location, he changes the picture to be another one of the pictures that I picked out of that album. So every 30 minutes when I turn my phone on to check the weather, I get to see a new picture of my son. And it just makes me smile. It makes me happy. So one more app to show you using notifications in the real world, and that's this app on the bottom of my screen here called Weave. Weave is a newsreader application, and they're using something called the Cycle Tile template, which was also new in Windows Phone 8. They've done a great job of making sure they entice me into coming into their application, because every time their background agent runs, they go and they prefetch some news so that the next time you start the app, there's some news ready for you to read. But they also prefetch some of the images for the 9 newest news stories. And then they put those images onto the tile, and they're cycling through right now, as you can see. And that draws me into the app. An image will cycle through it. I won't know what the story is, but it'll look interesting. I'll tap it, and that'll take me into the app so I can see what's going on in the news. It's a really great way to get me into their app, and their model is based on advertising to make money, so the more they pull me into the app, the more chance they have of making good money. So it's a great way to entice me into keeping going into the app. So that's what I had for you for showing live demos right now. Let me switch back to the slides. So the key takeaway from that live demo, this fact right here is really important. The top 50 apps in Marketplace are 3.7 times more likely to have a live tile. And there's a similar figure for apps that use push notifications. It's about 3.2 times as likely to use push notifications for the top 50 apps. Using a live tile gets users engaged. It makes them want to use your app. And adding a live tile to your app can actually be very simple. You can go very complex as well. Some of the stuff that those guys did was very, very impressive. But just getting the basic functionality of having your live tile updated is something everybody can do, and it will make users like your app more. As a matter of fact, if your app uses a live tile, we know that. Whenever you submit it to the marketplace, we can tell it's using a live tile. So we'll feature something at the bottom of your app on the store that says, this app has a live tile. I think it says with live tile. So we're even promoting for you, saying, hey, this app cares about engaging you. It's using a live tile. So it's a great benefit. So now let's talk a little bit about the architecture, about how all this stuff works. And we're going to start off talking about scheduled notifications. Now remember, this is one of the types of inputs you can have for notifications. And I'm going to talk about scheduled tile notifications specifically. The API is called Shell Tile Schedule. I'm not going to do a demo of this one today because I just didn't have time to fit it in the amount of time I've got. But Shell Tile Schedules existed since Windows Phone 7. But in Windows Phone 8, we updated it significantly. In Windows Phone 8, everything you can do with any tile size or any tile template can be done through Shell Tile Schedule. So that means now, if you want to, you can set up an hourly schedule that will actually let you update the tile. You can update the front image, the back image. You can update any template that you've picked. And the best way to use Shell Tile Schedule is to actually do it with remote images. So imagine you've got a service in the cloud that's already hosting images, that's already hosting information for your end user. Just point the image URIs in Shell Tile Schedule to that remote server and let us pull them down on your behalf, and your app code never has to run. This isn't a background agent. This is different. This is us running a schedule on your behalf to pull the data down that goes on the tile so that you don't have to have code run, you don't have to have code execute. And you can do this as frequently as every hour, but there's other options. There's daily, there's weekly, there's even monthly if you had something you only do once a month. And you can even set a max update count for the number of times you want to run. Maybe the schedule only makes sense during a specific sports game that's going on, and you only want to have the schedule run during that. So you're just going to say, oh, I'll update the schedule once now and then five times from here on out every hour until the game is done. The great thing about this is, like I said, it takes anything derived from shell tile data. If you go look at the class library on MSDN, things derived from shell tile data are things like flip tile data, cycle tile data, iconic tile data, all the tile data types, which is how you update the tiles, and I'll show you that in the demo, can be used with this guy. Now I want to tell you about another type of input called push notifications. Push notifications is not really a new concept. We've had push notifications since Windows Phone 7. We did a lot of improvements through 7.5 and 8.0 to make it as stable as we possibly could, and I think we've come a long way. But not everybody knows how to use push notifications, and it's actually pretty simple. You just push enable your app, which really just means you write a little bit of code in your app to request what we call a URI. So that's step one in this slide, is you're telling the phone, the platform, hey, I want to use push notifications. When you do that, we go talk to what we call MPNS, Microsoft Push Notification Service, and we get a URI for you. And that's exactly what it sounds out. That's just HTTP colon whack whack some big string that you can post to. And so in step two, again, we'll return that back to the platform. And then in step three, the platform returns it back up to your app using an event. And once you get that event, then it's up to you to go tell your service in the cloud. Maybe you've got a weather service or a sports score service or something that's kind of real-time enabled. In step four, you send that URI up, and you would send something along with it, like some information about the user to identify them, or like a device ID maybe, or just something to tie that push notification belongs to that application or that user with your application on the phone. And then when you have something to tell them, either it's real-time something you want to tell them or it's just you want to update their tile, you send that push notification in step five. So you do an HTTP post, and I'm going to show you my web service that's able to do push notifications in a little bit. You just post to that URI, and you send an XML payload. They're well-defined, they're easy to figure out, they're all up on MSDN. You either send XML that defines how the tile looks, you send XML that defines how the toast looks, and you send that down to the phone in step five you send it to us, in step six we send it down to the phone. We take care of finding the phone and sending it down for you, and then we take care of processing it for you. If your app isn't in the foreground, which is usually the case, then we'll update the tile for you, or we'll pop a toast. If your app happens to be in the foreground, then we'll deliver toast updates to you. But tile updates still happen kind of on their own. But you can intercept toast updates if your app's in the foreground. So now let's talk about the last type of local of inputs, and that's local notifications. And local notifications is actually pretty broad. When I say the term local notifications, it spans kind of a lot. So I'm going to build up from the platform telling you what it means. Local just means your app code is running somehow, but there's kind of a lot of ways for your app code to run. We start out with the notification platform. This guy is always there. He's always running. This is the component that my team owns, and it's just the notification service that's always running on the phone for you to be able to talk to. On top of the notification platform, your app is in something called Task Host. This is kind of that architectural detail people have asked me for. If you use Visual Studio and you're watching kind of the output, sometimes you'll see things like Task Host started, Task Host exited with code, et cetera, right? That's what Task Host is. It's the container that your app is running inside of whenever it's in the foreground. And on top of Task Host is your foreground app. So this is when the app is in the user's face and they're actively interacting with it. It's running inside Task Host. But there's another thing that can run inside Task Host, and that's continuous background execution. We introduced a feature in Windows Phone 8 that's great for like location tracking or running in the background, meaning your foreground app can go into the background and literally still be running. If you're doing a location tracking scenario, like you're doing turn-by-turn directions, you could use CBE to keep that service actually running, and then you could update the tile from CBE as well, from continuous background execution. There is something called headless host. Again, you will see this if you're ever in Visual Studio and you're watching the output and you use a background agent. Headless host is what agents run on top of. Things like background agents, which happen periodically every 30 minutes, things like resource-intensive agents, which have to have Wi-Fi and they have to have power to be able to run, or things like audio agents. They all run inside of task host, or sorry, inside of headless host. And so this is another place where your code is running. And like I said, anywhere where your code is actually executing, that's where you're able to actually update tiles and do work with the notifications. There is also one advantage that we added in Windows Phone 8 for people who are updating tiles using something like a background agent. You may not be aware, but there is a limit. If your background agent runs for 14 days, but the user doesn't launch the app, we actually unschedule your background agent because we figure the user hasn't been interacting with the app very much, so it's not really providing them a lot of value. Maybe we'll let some resources free on the phone and we'll unschedule your agent. Now, the next time your app launches, your agent can run, but we heard feedback from developers saying, well, sometimes people don't launch my app because my tile is awesome and they don't have to launch my app, so they just like looking at my tile. And so we thought, well, that doesn't seem fair. If the app is providing value, we shouldn't unschedule it. So now, if your app is using shelltile.update, if you're updating your tile or updating your lock screen, which I'll talk about later, then we won't unschedule your background agent anymore. If you're providing value to the user because they've pinned your tile to start and that tile is updating frequently from a background agent, we figure it seems fair that that agent sticks around and provides value to the user and provides value to your app. So we change that. Now let's talk a little bit about the types of notifications. I've already showed you these kind of. I don't think I showed you Toast yet, but I will. Toasts are an interruptive notification. It's a weird name. Toast is an old term. It comes from things that used to pop up from the bottom of the screen. It looks kind of like toast coming out of a toaster. It's been in our vernacular for a long time. We still use it in MSDN. So really, a toast is an interruptive notification. That's the best way to think of it. You want to tell the user, I need to get your attention. I've got something important to tell you. That's when you would pop a toast and so the user could interact with it. People click on toasts to launch your app. That's what they're there for. Tiles are meant to be delightful and engaging. Remember, tiles are how you bring people into the app and keep them interacting with your app. So make them beautiful. Make them something people want to see and want to play with, want to see updated, that they look forward to seeing updated when they go to their start screen. And then finally, the last type is lock screen, which was new in Windows Phone 8. The lock screen is what people see more than anything else on their phone. Every time you pull your phone out of your pocket, you see the lock screen. So make it both glanceable, if you're going to provide information, but beautiful too. Really connect with the end user on their lock screen, because they see it so often, they're going to want to feel that connection with their phone when they pull it out of their pocket. So now let's get in some code. I'm going to actually show you a demo of how to make this stuff happen. Switch back to my machine. That's a picture of me and my dad whenever I was little. Okay, I can get out of the device viewer, and I'm going to go right into Visual Studio. So I've got the emulator running here. What you're seeing on the right side of the screen, this is my push server. I'm going to get to this in a little bit. I'm going to use push notifications. I'm just going to go into Visual Studio, and this is a sample that I've already provided out on the web. It's already on my blog. It's called The Final Countdown. It's meant to be like kind of a fax app about the Apollo 8 mission launch from NASA. And so I've just kind of simulated an app like that and what it would do. Sometimes it would show you pictures, sometimes it would show you cool facts, and I'm just going to take you through all the different types of tiles and templates for tiles and toast notifications using this app. So I'm going to run it, and I'm going to give you a lay of the land inside of the app so you know what we're going to be doing. The app's broken out into two pivots. It's got a tiles pivot, and it's got a lock pivot. Very, very simple. The tiles pivot is basically everything you can do in Windows Phone 8 with a tile. And it's actually pretty detailed, and I'm not going to go into all of it today, but if you look at these down arrows, you can even do stuff like update your tile with C#, which means like I just new up the tile object in my code and I update the tile that way. Or you can update the tile with XML. That's a new feature we added in Windows Phone 8. The same XML payload I was telling you would form up to send in a push notification, you can do that locally as well. You can form up that same XML payload and update tile that way. So if you're already working with XML payloads as part of push, it's kind of nice to be able to use it locally as well. And then you can even set it to download or to use images that are local in the package or images from the cloud. And so this all works in the sample that's out there today. You can set it up to point at your own repositories for things like images that are in the cloud if you want to use these features, and you can try it out. But I'm going to kind of keep it simple. I'm just going to show you what happens when I go to pin a tile. I want to show you kind of the flow of how you create secondary tiles. Secondary tiles are tiles that your app can create to deep link into an experience. So you might create a secondary tile for a sports team because whenever you click that secondary tile, you want to launch directly into that team's detail page instead of to the root of the app. And so I'm going to create an iconic secondary tile first. I'll show you what that looks like and how it works. So I wrote this little thing called tilehelper.cs. When you go look at this code online, you're going to realize that I'm a PM because you're all real developers and you're going to see all kinds of mistakes. And I'm promising to ignore any email you send me about how bad my code is, but I won't be offended when you do it. And really, this little helper just does everything that you can do. I just call this guy every time a button is pushed to create, update, delete a tile, pass everything about the tile properties that I want into him, and just let him deal with actually doing the tile update. So you can see I've passed in a bunch of stuff here. I've got the title for the tile, which is going to be the final countdown. It's not going to have any kind of count property on it. It's going to have no content really on it. This is what the small icon image is going to be, et cetera. So I'm just going to skip past this real quick. And what I did was I created this thing called tile data with all those properties. And you can see I'm going to use that later on. And there's all the things that I passed in. But I also told it what I want it to do. This is still part of my helper. This is logic that you could do it a different way if you wanted to. But I've told it at this point, I'm trying to create a tile. So I'm going to key off that in the next step. I've given it a tile ID. This is the deep link that you want to specify for where the secondary tile should go. Now, you'll notice that I've actually pointed it at my main page. This app only has one page, and that's fine. You don't have to point it at a page 2 or a page 3. You can just point it right back at main page, but you'll see I've given it some parameters. The parameters I gave this one were how equals iconic. The key is how, the value is iconic. That's just telling me that whenever I launch from this tile, I'm going to be looking for those parameters so I can figure out which tile I launched from. You get those parameters in your app whenever your app comes into the foreground. You can actually see them. Tile to find, I'm going to show you how to use this when we get to the update case so you can kind of ignore it. So let's move on. And the next thing I do is, as a lazy PM developer, I just do a switch statement. Try and figure out what exactly was I trying to do. Okay, in this case, I was trying to create the tile. If you step into that, you can see again, there's the tile ID I passed. There's the tile data. Now, the reason I'm setting true as the last parameter here is because I want this tile to support the wide size. The wide size on Windows Phone 8 is optional. You don't have to support it if you don't want to. So we let you choose. In my case, I do want to support the wide tile. And that's it. After this, the tile is going to get created. So there you have it. That's a secondary tile. It's the iconic template. It looks just like the tile above it because the tile above it is also using the iconic template. The only difference is this is the primary tile for the app. I got this tile by doing this. If I went to the app list and I found my application and I tap and hold on it, that's what we mean when we say the primary tile. I'll move him back up to the top. And I created one that looks just like it to show you that anything you can do with your primary tile, you can do with your secondary tiles too. You can do all of the same stuff. The only difference is you can create secondary tiles programmatically, and you can delete secondary tiles programmatically. But the primary tile always has to be done by the end user. So I'm going to launch back into the app, and you're going to notice whenever I do that by clicking on the secondary tile, I'm actually capturing the fact that I launched from that secondary tile. So there are those parameters that I told you about that you can set on the tile. I'm actually capturing them and going, oh, I realize where I came from. I just came from this iconic tile that the end user clicked on. So let's do this again. Let's create a couple more types of tiles. In this case, I'm doing a flip tile. You can see flip tile has quite a bit more properties than the iconic tile. It's got small image. It's got a background image on the front and back. It's got a wide background image. I'm going to show you what these properties look like in some slides later so you don't have to really memorize them now. And I set some content for all these. And in the same way, I kind of create the tile the same way. I've given it a different tile ID. In this case, it's how equals flip instead of how equals iconic. And then, again, my super complex switch statement to actually create the tile. So there it is. Now, one thing you might have noticed is that the first tile I created started out as medium, and this tile started out as medium. On Windows Phone, when you create a secondary tile, it always gets created for the user as medium. The other thing you might have noticed is that when you create a secondary tile, the app is closed. It's not closed, excuse me, it's deactivated. The user is actually taken to the start screen because we want users to know whenever you create a secondary tile that you've created a secondary tile. We want to give them a chance to go immediately to the start screen and rearrange it and lay it out and put it where they want to see it and where they want to have it, what size they want to have. You can see that it flipped over. I had some text on the back of that tile. This is the flip template, so it does flip over. And I'm going to use that tile now to launch into the app. And I'm going to create a cycle tile. Now, cycle tile is a little bit interesting because it takes 9 images. So you'll see the properties for cycle tile are pretty simple. Title count, some background image for the small size, and then the cycle images. And that is a list of URIs that I've got up here. This list of URIs all came from my package. So if I go into Solution Explorer and I navigate into Assets and Tiles, you'll see I've got a bunch of images for tiles. You don't have to do it this way. If you were more creative than me, you would probably download some of these images and put them in isolated storage instead of keeping them all in your package. That way you would only have the images you need for whatever the situation is that you're using them for at the time, and your package isn't too big, but for a demo, this is just the easiest way to do it. So I've got 9 images that I put in that list, and then just like the rest of them, that gives me my tile object, cycle tile data, and I'm going to go through the same process real quickly to actually pin it to start. So now I've got all the different tile types on the screen. And you can see that the cycle tile is cycling through the 9 images. If I give it a second, it'll cycle to the next image. The flip tile continues to flip over. Now what I want to do is I want to update these so you can see what the update process looks like. And it's actually very similar to the create process. So remember what they look like. Keep that in your head. I'm going to go through and I'm going to quickly update these. So again, it's the same thing. I pass in the data that I want to use for the update, but we're going to change in one spot. Remember I said you don't need this for create, but you do need this for when you're updating, because when you're updating a tile, it already exists. So you go out and you enumerate what tiles are already on the start screen. You find the one that you want, because I matched it with the actual tile URI that I know I created the tile with. And then you do the operation on that instead of on just creating a new shell tile. And I'll show you what that operation looks like. So when I get to my little helper here, now instead of calling shelltile.create, because there was nothing to create before, I'm calling tile to find, which just means I found my tile I'm looking for. I'm calling update on that guy. So I found the object that already existed. I'm just telling the system, update what was already there. Again, I pass in my tile data. Everything's happy. And I'm going to do that for the other guys real quick. I'm not going to make you understand what I did every time, because it's all the same. I'm just passing in the different data sets each time. And now when I go back to the start screen, you'll see all these tiles are updated. You can see that iconic tile had that beautiful animation on it for the count to flip up. You can see now I've got a different photo on the flip tile, and I've got different text on the back. And this is the old image, but wait for it to cycle. And now you'll see I put a new set of images on here. These are images of the rocket blasting off instead of the astronauts. I put a count on each one. You can see the counts are a little bit different depending on the template you choose. I put text, kind of new text on each one. You can kind of see all the different things that live tiles can do when you look at all these different secondary tiles that we've created. And so the last thing I want to do for tiles is I actually want to get rid of them. You may have a good reason that the user doesn't want the tile on their start screen anymore. They may tell you to unpin the tile, or you may need to unpin the tile if, for example, you change something about your application and it needs a new tile to be able to work correctly. And that's easy to do as well. So I'm just going to show you that deleting a tile, just click delete. And this one's really simple. All I do this time is actually go out and find the tile that I want to delete. I don't pass in anything inside of tile data. All I need is the tile ID and the action to delete. And now when I step into this, I'm just going to call delete on that guy, and he's going to be gone. So when I go back to the start screen, you can see the cycle tile is no more. He doesn't exist on the start screen. So that's it for tiles. I'm actually going to just unpin these two guys because I need to for later in my demo. And now I want to show you how toast notifications work. Now, let me start my app up. And in the output down here, I've actually been cheating this whole time. The output, I know it's impossible to read what that is, but that's the URI. This app is enabled for push notifications. So I told you, you ask for a URI, we give you one back. That's what this app has done. It asked for one. I have the URI here. What you would do, instead of being lazy like me, is you would automatically post this up to your service and then store it. But because I'm not a very good developer, I'm just going to copy it, and I'm going to paste it into this web service. Now, what I'm going to show you is just sending a toast notification. And it's this part of my website right here that's letting me do this. And I'm going to show you what it looks like, the XML, for when I create this. So I have this preview button here. There we go. And it shows up down here. And you can see it's just a very simple XML payload defining kind of the toast and what I want to send in the toast, some text, and the parameters that I wanted to send. So I'm going to actually go ahead and send that down to the device now. This is real live, so everybody please cross your fingers. Pray for the network. There we go. So the toast popped up at the top of the screen, and I can interact with this toast. I can kind of slide it away if I don't want to see it. I can get rid of it, or if I want to launch the app, I'll actually tap on that toast, and it's bringing me into the app. And you can see, just like with the tiles, with the toast, when I deep link into the app, I can grab those parameters that I sent with the toast. I sent toast equals push. The key was toast, the value was push. I pulled them out as the app was launching, and it just launches into my app. You could choose to launch to another page in your app if you wanted to. You could put like page 2 before all that, and then you could deep link into your application. So that's it for demos right now. Let me switch back to the slides real quick. So I wanted to recap this for you a little bit because I know I showed you a lot of kind of UX stuff without defining what that UX stuff really was. So what I'm showing you on the screen now is the flip tile template. That was the original template that we had in Windows Phone. The flip tile template was the one we started with, and we slowly expanded it over time. Originally, we only had that medium square size that you see in the middle. Actually, originally in Windows Phone, we only had the front image, and we didn't have to do anything with the back of the tile. In Windows Phone 7.5, we started flipping the tile over, and Windows Phone 8, we let you have the multiple sizes for the tile. Flip tile has the most properties of any tile, and it's the most flexible of any tile, because honestly, if you don't want to, you don't have to use any of these. You could just use the image property alone, create the image, composite it to look and feel like whatever you wanted, including embedding text into it to create a style and a look and feel that's all your own, and just submit the image to the tile. You don't have to use these text fields. You don't have to use the title fields. It's all up to you. You can have this be as flexible as you want it to be, and that's what a lot of developers choose to do. If you look at the Groupon app on Windows Phone, they've got a beautiful flip tile, and they've got it laid out in their very own look and feel, their style, because it made sense for their business. I'm not going to go through all the individual properties. You can look at that on MSDN, but I do want to talk a little bit about the sizes. We have multiple resolutions in Windows Phone 8. You can have WVGA, you can have 720p, and you can have WXGA, but we didn't want developers to have to create image assets for every single resolution. So when you give us images to go on tiles, we ask for them in the highest resolution, which is WXGA. So you can see, for example, the wide tile is 691 by 336. That's a pretty high quality image. Looks great on WXGA, but if your app is run on 720p or on VGA, we'll just scale down for you. You don't have to do anything. We'll just make sure that we scale the image and it'll still look great on those resolutions. The next template I want to talk to you about is the cycle tile template, and I showed you this one, but there is one idiosyncrasy about the cycle tile template you need to think about. Like I said, it's 9 images. Those images have to be local. You have to submit the tile update using local assets. That's either in your package or it's in isolated storage, meaning if you go out and your background agent kicks off every half hour, you'll need to download those images, put them in isolated storage, and then put them on the tile. The other interesting thing about the cycle tile template is that it's a shared set of 9 images. It's not 9 wide images and 9 medium images. It's just 9 images, and then we crop it depending on what size the user sets the tile to. Remember, you don't have to support the wide size. So if you're really targeting something that's more of like a square ratio, then just don't support the wide size of the tile and give us images that make sense for the square ratio. That's fine. If you do give us wide images, we kind of center left crop. So it still usually looks good. If it's images of people, they still are usually in the middle of the photo. It's easier this way, and it actually uses a lot less data for the end user this way. That's why we don't let you use remote images for the 9 images, because 9 remote images at 691 by 336 every half hour could come out to a lot of data. And so we wanted to be conscious of the user's data plan in doing that. And then the last template is the iconic tile template. This template is what everybody was asking us for since Windows Phone 7. All the built-in apps, like the messaging app and the mail app, use this iconic tile template, and we wanted to give developers a chance to use it as well. The iconic tile template is different than the other two because the image that you use in the iconic tile template is not the same as the size of the tile itself. So remember in the other ones, the wide, for example, was 691 by 336, but you don't see anything like that on the image dimensions for this template because we're actually asking you to give us an image that's very tightly cropped around its white space. So when you give us an image for this tile, we require that it's white with transparent background. If you give us any color other than white, we'll turn it white, which doesn't always look good, so only give us white. And the transparency is meant to be cropped really, really tight on the horizontal and really, really loose on the vertical, meaning fill the vertical padding all the way up to the max size. For example, on the medium, the vertical padding would go all the way up to 202, but on the horizontal, that would actually be more like 130, 120 is how wide that icon is, and it's very tightly cropped. There's a great set of design guidelines online that talk about how to design your iconic tile to look and feel great. I recommend you go out and look at them. They're on MSDN. If you find the tile documentation, you'll very easily find the tile design guidelines as well. And then finally, the Toast template. So what does the Toast template look like? It's very, very simple. There's only one Toast template. You can only have Toast look one way. And you actually only get to control two of the visible fields. You have the title and the content. Now, the reason they have two names on the slide is because title is what it's called when you're doing it locally, like meaning you're executing your code as your app is running. Text 1 and text 2 is what it's called in a push notification. There's just a slight difference in the names, but they do the same thing. Title slash text 1 is a bold string that can be as long as you want. You could just use that if you wanted to. And then content or text 2 is another string that's just not bold. You can use one of these or both of these. It's just up to whatever your app wants to do. And that icon that you're seeing on the left is actually from your app list. So the icon you choose that goes in the all apps list for the phone is the same icon we'll use whenever your Toast pops up so that your app is identifiable to the end user. And then the one thing that's not visible on the toast, but that you can set, are the parameters that I showed you earlier. You can set parameters to say how I want to launch the app and what I want the deep link to be. So now that I showed you all about tiles and toasts, I want to give you a demo of all the lock features that we did in Windows Phone 8. So I'm going to switch back to my machine, and we're going to get back into the trusty Final Countdown app. And I'm going to show you the other pivot that I didn't get into. So this pivot is everything you can do with the lock screen for Windows Phone 8. Again, I highly recommend you go check out the sample because I won't be able to get through everything that you can do, but I am going to go through the very, very basics. Whenever you want to set a background image on the lock screen for the user is going to get prompted. The user is going to get asked, is it okay that this app sets the background image? You might have saw that happen earlier in the apps I was demoing for you, but I want to show you what that actually looks like in code. So I'm going to hit the set button. Set's going to both ask me, and then if I say yes, it's going to actually update the background image. But before I start, let me show you what the lock screen looks like right now. If you hit F12 in the emulator, then you can actually simulate pushing the power button on the phone. Hitting F12 again brings the screen back up, just like if you hit the power button. And you can unlock the phone. And hitting the set button takes me into the code behind that set button, which is just a click event. And you can see I'm just right away picking out the URI for the local image that I want to use to update the lock screen. And I'm kind of updating some stuff for debug here. And I'm calling this lock helper to say the event I'm trying to do is to set this specific image. And inside this lock helper is what's really doing all the work. Again, you can see I'm a super big fan of switch statements. All these basically do the same thing. Set, pick, reset, demo, all these buttons in the demo basically land in the same place, which is where I'm actually going to ask now for the user if it's okay for me to set their lock screen. So you can see it's asked me, is that okay? This app wants to set it. I'm going to say yes. And once I say yes, the rest of this code executes. And the real code doing the work here is just this, is to set the image URI to that background image URI that I sent down to this helper. And that's it. When I hit F12 now, there's a different image on the lock screen. So now it's an image of the Apollo 8 rocket taking off, for example. Very, very easy to set that image. Now, let's get a little more advanced. Well, it's one thing to set an image that the user didn't pick, but what if you want to be kind of like those apps I showed you and you want to let the user have an image that is something they've already taken, like a picture that's important to them? When I click this button, it's actually just going to use the photo chooser task in Windows Phone 8. And I'm not going to go through the details of the photo chooser task. It's really well documented online. The photo chooser task is really easy to use. It's a great way for you to reach into the user's library in a trusted way, pull out a photo, and then you'll be able to pass that as a reference into the application for it to use to show on the lock screen. So, for example, excuse me for one sec. I have to go launch the Photos app for one time so that the library has some content in it. Demo setup fail. Okay. Now, that should work. Oh, please. Okay, go back into my app. Go back to the lock pivot and click pick. Now there's an album showing up in there. I can pick any photo I want out of this album. Let's pick 8 for Windows Phone 8 on some bowling shoes. The crop tool is part of the photo chooser as well. It lets you have a kind of an aspect ratio that you want to crop at. And once I select that photo, I come back right to the same place. It's all the same code, really, doing the same thing over and over again. It's going to check if it has access already. It does have access, and then it's just going to use the reference that it got from the photo chooser task to update the lock screen with the picture. Now, that's not nearly as advanced as what the guys did, like in Simple Calendar or in Weatherflow, but they're better developers than me, so that's why I can't show you their code. Okay, so I want to show you one more thing about the lock screen, and that's how you update the lock screen on a schedule. It's more useful, usually, to update the lock screen because you're going to have some content you want to show instead of just showing a photo. Or maybe you just want to show a photo slideshow. That's fine, too. But you need to be able to do that on a periodic basis. So you would probably do that with a background agent. You'd write an agent. Your agent would kick off every half hour, and I'm going to show you what you can do inside your agent to kind of composite an image on the fly to give the user some useful information. So that's what this live lock button here means. I'm going to click the live lock button. I'm a little worried because none of my breakpoints hit, but that's okay. And hopefully, in a second, we'll actually see a toast notification pop up at the top of the screen. Give it a sec. I can always try again. I'm using something called Launch for Test, which launches the agent kind of on demand for me so that I can go ahead and kick the agent off, but I'm not having a lot of success at the moment. Okay. Let me just try launching the debugger one more time and see if that'll help me. Sorry, folks. Well, I'm just going to take you through the scheduled agent code and show you what I do. So scheduled agent is your agent code. All projects that you add an agent to end up with scheduled agent. You could call it whatever you wanted, but the default is scheduled agent.cs. And all I'm really doing inside of my scheduled agent is I'm just creating some image resources. These are really just like, you can think of these as like, this is me creating a XAML text box without it actually existing on the XAML page. It's kind of something I can use to manipulate. So in my case, I'm taking an image called just the lock background image that I want to use. I've got this image of a kind of sunny, cloudy day that I want to use. And I'm simulating kind of a weather service, if you will, so that it looks like I'm updating the lock screen so that it has the current weather information on it. I've got some text I can set on the lock screen, but what's really important is eventually I actually render the image, and this is where you need to take a little bit of care. Whenever you're using a background agent, you actually have a limited amount of memory that you can use, up to 10 meg, and it's not too hard to come in under that 10 meg limit, but if you're doing some really complex stuff, stuff that's more complex than what I'm doing, then your application won't actually get the chance to run if it exceeds that memory amount. So you can use something called the profiler to check on how much memory your background agent is using whenever it's running. And there's great instructions on MSDN on how to use the profiler to make sure you keep your memory usage under the limit whenever you're doing these kind of real-time on-the-fly compositing of images. So that's it. I kind of render everything and then do the same code that I was doing in my lock helper, only I'm doing it right here in the agent to kind of set the image. And then when I'm done setting the image, just for the purposes of the demo, I was popping a toast to say, hey, I'm done actually setting the image. I guess I could try one more time, if you guys are all super patient, and we'll see if we can get the emulator to wake up. Okay, launch the app. Go to the lock pivot. Let's try one more time. Kick it into gear. Make sure I'm the lock provider. Yes. Make sure I first got a lock screen. Okay. Everybody cross your fingers. And live lock. And I should actually see headless host kick off down here if it's actually gonna start. But for some reason I might have broke something and it's not actually gonna work. So sorry, I can't quite show it to you. Oh, yes. So there it is. So it's going into that same code I was just showing you. It's actually broken to the debugger. So you can debug your agents just like you can debug your foreground processes. You can set breakpoints and everything. And I'm just gonna run through this code quickly because I already told you what it does. And you'll see, oh, the toast popped that tells me the lock screen was updated. Again, I can, you know, dismiss that toast or I can launch the app. I'm doing the same thing I always do whenever I deep link into my app. I want to know where I came from, so I pass some context in that toast. And now if we look at the lock screen, what do you know? There's the weather, right? So I've overlaid that image that I showed you with some kind of sunny, like, icon there and showing you some text that shows, and that might even be the real temperature outside because it's kind of warm today. But you would do this with a real service hitting your web service to see what the weather was. So there's one more part of the lock screen that I need to show you, but it's not about the background image that goes on the lock screen. It's about what goes down below the clock on the lock screen, and that's the detailed status and the quick status that I told you about before. And I want to show you how users can actually make your app part of their lock screen experience. And the way to get to that, I've got it on the tiles pivot, and I want to explain why. Why is there something on the tiles pivot that has to do with the lock screen? Well, because the data that comes the data that gets shown on the lock screen and the detailed or the quick status is actually from your primary tile. So the primary tile for your app drives this entire experience. When you put content on your primary tile or you put a count on your primary tile, we just take that exact same data and we show that on the lock screen. And the primary tile can be updated even if it's not pinned to start. So don't worry about the user having pinned your tile. If it's not there, it's okay. Just keep updating your primary tile as if it were there. And if you're pinned to lock, then your updates will be able to get through. So this button is actually going to take me to some settings for the phone. And we implemented this deep linking so that people could quickly navigate to the place where they can set your app as a lock screen provider. When I click this button, you can see I'm actually using app-to-app communication. I'm using custom URI schemes to launch out. And this custom URI scheme is specific to the OS. The OS owns this one. And it's just the way to navigate to the lock screen settings. Anybody can call it and use it, and where it does is it just takes me to the lock screen settings that otherwise the user would have to go navigate to and kind of find on their own. This is like a quick link for your user to get into the settings that have to do with lock. And you can see my app is already chosen as the background provider because we let you do that programmatically from within the app. But if you want to choose the app to go in the detailed status, you can just pick from this drop-down here. Here's my app, the final countdown. The same goes for the quick status. So there, I've picked my app to be in both of those places. Now, how did I register to get in here? What did I do in my app so that the settings knew that it was okay to show me? And that is what happens in the app manifest. Every app has a WM app manifest. I'll show it to you in Solution Explorer. And I've just gone into the app manifest and said view code. I've got it open right here. And I've done a couple things in the manifest so that I can set up this ability to show stuff on the lock screen. The first thing I've done is I've told it what image I want to use for the small icon that's going to show in quick status. So that's just a resized version of my main app icon that I took and I scaled down to make look good for when it's on the lock screen. Then I've also opted myself in to these various things in the manifest. For example, icon count is the same as quick status. Text field is the same as detailed status. This is manifest registration where you're telling the operating system, I want to be allowed to do this stuff so that it can be listed in that setting CPL. And then there is also one for being allowed to do the background. That's how it knew to give me the option of being one of the people to pick for the background providers as well. So doing this stuff right here is what lets you show up in these check or these pickers right here. So now I've set my app, and the nice thing about Windows Phone is we've given you a way for your app to get opened quickly as well, because the user may have navigated to this naturally. They may have just gone to settings, they were playing around, they saw a lock screen, and they pick your app. But you want to be able to help them configure the lock screen for your app, even though they haven't launched it before. So when I click this Open App button, it's actually going to call my app, and it's going to pass some parameters in so that I know I'm being called from the lock screen settings. And I'll just set the app up so you can see exactly what I mean. For example, the app is already here. It's already running. It's on the Tiles pivot. When I go back and I click that Open App button, you're going to see it auto-navigate to the Lock pivot. Because like I said, I get some parameters that tell me here that this is a lock screen navigation coming from the lock screen settings page. And because of that, I'm going to navigate to the first pivot. Instead of pivot 0 to pivot 1, which is where the lock screen settings for my app are. So you can see, oh, I found it. It took me right to the lock pivot instead of to the tiles pivot, which is where the app would usually start. So now I've got my app set as a provider for the lock screen. And I need to update a tile for this to work. And again, my primary tile, you'll notice, is not pinned anywhere on start. So the tile doesn't exist at all on the start screen. It only exists over here in the app list. And right now, there's nothing showing on lock other than what I showed you earlier. It's exactly the same for now. But I'm going to go into my app, and I'm going to update my primary tile. This is my update button for my primary tile. I update. I'm not going to take you guys through this code again because you've already seen what it does. It just does a tile update. And again, nothing on start, so it didn't pin a tile or anything. But when I check the lock screen, you can see I've got some data on the lock screen now. Now you can see I put some text. This is kind of a quote from Bill Sanders, an astronaut. I've got that icon that I specified down here. This is the icon from the manifest that I specified. And then I put a count of 8. And I want to show you now, when I pin the tile for the app, you'll see the exact same data that's on the tile is what was shown on the lock screen. I'll just make it big. There you go. So that is how that works. Just update your tile, update one place, and we'll make sure if you're on the lock screen, it gets updated correctly. That's the end of that demo. Let me switch back to the slides real quick. So I know that was a lot. Let me just quickly run through the lock screen stuff that you can do. Again, you can deep link into the settings. You can have the settings deep link back into you. You have quick and detailed status. It works, like I said, even if no tile is pinned to start, and you declare it in the manifest. And so these are the templates for detailed status and quick status as part of the templates way of doing notifications that I was talking about earlier. Again, the background, this is kind of the parameter that you get whenever you're launched from that open app button for the background settings, wallpaper settings equals 1. One thing I didn't mention is for your app, always provide a WXGA image in the root of your package. I didn't show you that, but in the root of my package, I had a default image because there's always a chance the user will install your app, but before they run it, they might find your app in the settings CPL for the lock and decide to set your app as the lock provider. And if you don't have a default image, then when they set that, they will think maybe something's not working. So having a default image in your package means that we'll go ahead and put that image out there. And like Weatherflow, for example, does something really smart. Whenever you haven't launched their app and their default image shows up, it's very clearly got their logo on this beautiful background to remind the user, hey, you've just set me here, and then that way maybe they'll remember to actually go run the app so they can start doing cool stuff to update the lock screen. So, to wrap up, think about the inputs that your app will use. Your app has a lot of choices, and not all inputs make sense for everybody. If you need to do real-time, use push notifications. If you need to do frequent but not real-time, use something like scheduled or background agents. And think about the types you should take advantage of. Tiles, toasts, lock, alarms, reminders. There's a lot of things your app can do to interact with the user. Think about what types make sense for what you're trying to do. But most importantly, no matter what you do, design everything to be beautiful, to really engage the customer. We have some amazing design resources about the lock screen, about tiles, all available for you. Make sure that you go check them out and do something really gorgeous. And then make users love your app and love their Windows phone. I mean, that's everybody's goal. That's our goal. That's your goal. Make users really want to use your app and use the product. Before I go, this is where you are right now. There's some great sessions coming up this afternoon. I really, really recommend you go to Matt Hittinger's session. He is going to be talking about doing Windows Phone 8 and Windows 8 development cross-platform. It's going to be a really great session. And then this afternoon, Andrew Whitechapel's talk, if you really want to understand the guts of dealing with low memory, and like I talked about, a background agent, for example, gets a certain amount of memory for a certain reason and you have to stay within it, go to Andrew's talk. It's going to be a great talk for that. Here's some resources. Now, I was supposed to announce this at the beginning, and I feel bad for the folks that left because they might not have known about this. So I am going to give away a phone, and I'm going to ask a question to do this. And the first person to raise their hand and answer the question correctly will get the phone. Now, don't raise your hand until I'm done asking the question, or I will not call on you. That's cheating. The question is, how many times more likely are people who use a live tile likely to get downloaded in the store? And it was, sir, it was you in the back first. No! Oh, it was actually, I think it was you. Sorry, in the striped shirt, yep. Yep, you. 3.7 is the correct answer. Good job. Okay, so you come grab this after we're done, okay? Okay, so here's some resources, and then the final thing, please remember to fill out an evaluation form. Here's a QR code. Go on, say how completely incompetent I was with my demos. That's totally fine. And just fill it out. It's really important for us to know how we're doing so we can do a better job next year, okay? And I've got like 2 or 3 minutes for questions. If anybody has a question they want to stand up and ask, there's a mic right there. Do you mind if you go to the mic? Everybody can hear it that way.
Quick question. Mm-hmm. So on the weather app that you showed, the live tile, I was curious which template they were using.
They were using Flip Tile template.
Okay.
And he did the compositing to kind of have a cool look and feel of his own, and did what I said and just did nothing to do with the template properties really, and just used the image.
Mm-hmm. And did it actually flip or not? I didn't see it flip when you.
It will. He only has it flip in the medium size. I had it in wide, so it didn't flip. But if you have it in medium, it'll flip because his thought is kind of like in wide, I can give you all the information you need, but in medium, I can flip over to give you that additional information I can't show you when it's smaller. Mm-hmm.
And not flipping on the wide is just not providing a background, or?
Yeah, it's just how he implemented his app. You could also flip on the back of the wide if you wanted to, but he just chose not to.
Cool, thanks.
Yep, good question.
First of all, send you a greeting from JC. A question is asked with the authenticated web service, because as you know, I can only send 500 unauthenticated web services per day, per device.
Right.
And my app requires more than that. So the suggestion from Microsoft is to build the authenticated web service, which is great, but I couldn't find any resource for Windows Phone 8. I found something for Windows 8. I posted a question on MSDN, no answer, and they say, well, we don't have the provision for Windows 8 phone, but you...
We have a way to do authenticated push notifications. Come see me after the questions, and okay. I'll be happy to help you out with it. We definitely have a way to do authenticated to get rid of the 500 limit, and I think we're getting to a point now where we've got better documentation so that hopefully it won't be as hard as it has been in the past.
Okay, I look forward to seeing it.
Anybody else?
A quick question
over
here.
Yeah, sure.
Do you happen to know the max character count that the toast notification at the top will show?
I do, but I don't know it off the top of my head.
Okay.
I think it's on MSDN. I definitely know. I mean, I have a table for sure. And
okay.
It's the toast is not a lot. Like, as
right.
You can see, it's not very many characters, and they all just kind of fall off. They don't wrap. They just cut off on
yeah,
the side.
It seems like other mobile platforms, too, have provided ways to show longer text.
More. Yeah.
Is that
we only have the one template right now.
Okay, so. Thanks.
Yep.
I also had a quick question. With the calendar app mm-hmm. that shows on the lock screen,
yep.
It seems like they were able to access your album and then put a composite data on top of that.
Right.
And is that something that's easy to do, or?
It is exactly what I actually showed you in the live lock example. So if you download my sample, you'll see basically the same technique. For example, he draws a large rectangle and sets the opacity on the rectangle to be, you know, a certain amount dependent on the user, and then draws some text inside that rectangle, and then renders all of that with the image as one flattened thing using render. It's very similar to what's in my sample, and you can play around with it and kind of see how you can do different stuff and lay it out in different ways.
Just to extend it a little more, though, I know that you have a limit of 10 megabytes that you can use on the background process, which is what's going to actually put it onto the lock screen.
Right.
But then if you're using images and then putting composite data on top of that, and I'm assuming he's going to be using a writable bitmap to do all that.
That is correct.
Doesn't that use a lot of data?
It does, but he's made it work. You can make it work, but I'm not going to say it doesn't take a little bit of effort. It absolutely takes a little bit of effort to get it right, and that's why using the profiler to keep an eye on your memory. And then the other thing I recommend is always debug on the WVGA 512 meg emulator, because those devices are under more memory pressure than the 1 gig memory devices. So it'll give you a better way to know if your app's going to work on the majority of devices that are out there in the marketplace.
Okay, thank you.
Yep. Cool. Very good questions. Anybody else? Okay, thanks very much, folks.